This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo. Joining me in the studio is Purdue Acting President Tim Sands, as he does once a month for us. Welcome.
Thank you.
I want to talk about a few things this time. First, the university's enrollment numbers came out recently. Overall, a smaller undergraduate population, but the first-year freshmen stronger academically. Is that correct?
That's correct.
What does that mean overall to the strategy of enrollment?
Well, we've been over the last couple of years targeting about 30,000 enrollment undergraduate in the fall, and we're closing in on that number. That means admitting about the number that we admitted and matriculated this fall. So pretty much we hit target.
About 31, is that right, undergrad?
A little under that.
And is this making room then for more graduate students?
It is. That was the intent. We're a research university, and if we look at our peers and our own capacity in terms of our faculty and the increasing research activity at Purdue West Lafayette, we've been planning over the next couple of years to increase the number of graduate students and professional students, and that's a steady march, but we're on the right track.
Does having a larger graduate enrollment, obviously research helps the professors out, but does this also help as far as teaching assistantships and helping the undergraduate population?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of synergy there. Our graduate students are involved in the instructional capacity of the university. They teach our undergraduates, and that also helps them. Some of them are planning on an academic career, and we want to make sure that they have experience in the classroom and in the laboratories, in the teaching labs. So that's part of it. It all couples together. It's kind of a complex organism, but that's part of it.
What about the international enrollment this time around?
The international enrollment is a little smaller, the new enrollment. Actually, the total enrollment went up by something like 500, but that's because we've been admitting larger classes over the last several years and had tremendous application pressure. We've had increases of between 25 and 30% the last couple of years in applications for undergraduates from overseas. This year, we intentionally reduced the number that we admitted. We, again, came in about where we had expected to come in, which is a little over 1,000 new beginners who are from other countries.
What about the application trend stateside, in-state?
In-state, it's been fairly steady. I think the encouraging news is that the academic preparation by any measure of the applicants, those admitted and those who actually come and join us in the fall, it has been steadily increasing every year, and I think that's a great sign. We started tracking last year looking at the most academically prepared students in the state graduating from public high schools in the prior year and just trying to track how many of those end up enrolling at West Lafayette. And this year, we got 44% of the top tier in terms of test scores and GPA. That doesn't measure a student's a propensity for success at West Lafayette too well, but it's they're quantitative measures that we can track. And so we're very pleased with 45% because basically these students have access to universities all over the country and the world, and it's not just in Indiana. And the fact that we received almost half of them here in fall was quite impressive.
What's the reason for these stronger academic backgrounds? Is it higher education getting the word out to secondary schools, or is it just the secondary schools noticing that they have to produce a stronger student?
I can only really speak to Purdue, and even that, we're in a process of trying to understand the origin of this trend. But we messaged a few years ago that you needed 4 years of math, for example. And I think that sent a message to high school counselors and to parents and to students that they're going to have to work hard if they want to be admitted to Purdue, and they're going to have some rigor in their program. And that was just one element of it. And I think our reputation remains strong, and there's been more and more studies, reports about the value of a degree, and Purdue always ranks highly in those. And I think that sends a message as well. So we want to continue to attract the best and retain the best students from Indiana that we can. It's an affordable degree. We'd like to make it even more affordable, but it's a very good deal. It's a very good investment, and we'd like to keep as many of those students as possible from leaving the state for their undergraduate career.
You mentioned rankings, and some came out recently. The QS World University rankings for Purdue, overall 95th, and last month the academic ranking of world universities ranked Purdue 56th. Up from 61 last year. What do these say? What does it mean?
If the rankings are fairly stable and they're transparent, then we do track them. But we don't necessarily follow any one ranking. The problem is if you look at any of them and you start diving down, they have several metrics buried in them. Sometimes it's 10 or 20. And then they decide how they're going to weight these metrics, and they all choose different weightings. And some of them have reputational metrics, and some of them have obscure, somewhat obscure metrics. And we don't track any one of them and build our planning off one of those rankings. I think that would be a mistake. For example, in the U.S. News and World Report, they still have a metric in there that is educational expenditures per student. We've argued with them, and I think other universities have made the same argument, that that metric shouldn't be in there, or if it is in there, perhaps we should be rewarded for decreasing expenditures per student, not increasing.
Because they're saying the more money you spend,
the more money you spend on a student, it's better. And you can make that case, but you can also make a case that being more efficient is better. So I think if you blindly follow any of those rankings, you could lead yourself to in a direction that doesn't make sense for the university. It's a third-party view, or it's an independent view. So we do pay attention to them, but we don't drive our planning off of one of those rankings.
Do the ones that ask employers to do the rankings, do you put a little more weight in that, or what does that tell you?
I think there's a general trend in more weight being applied or more attention being applied to rankings that involve output measures and measures of value. And I think that's a healthy trend. The problem is those measures are much harder to come by. It takes a lot of effort to do like the pay scale salary survey, or to ask individuals who've graduated maybe 5 years after they've graduated about how that experience enriched their lives. It's a difficult thing to do, but I think that's the trend. I think a lot of these rankings that use input measures are really limited. There's only so much you can do. We would argue that what's more important is the value we add, not so much the incoming student profile, but how do we enhance learning? So we've got to make more efforts to measure that.
Purdue Acting President Tim Sands, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo.